President Abraham Lincoln. It was a day that he said was set aside as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Is that who you honored on Thanksgiving? Amen. Thanksgiving was set aside to honor him. It wasn't set down to fill your bellies up and all that other stuff. No, we're supposed to thank him. This was a few months after during the Civil War of the Battle of Gettysburg. So many lives were lost. Brother against brother. You know what that was. But you know, in the last two messages we've done, I've talked about the word charis. Okay? Charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. Charis. Well, that is the Greek, that's the Greek word for grace and favor. But you know, it also means thanks. It means thanks. You know, because that is supposed to be the way we respond to God's grace and his favor with thanks. But it is the root word for offering of thanksgiving. I'm going somewhere. See, thanksgiving is in the New Testament. It's the same root word for the Greek word. Ready for this? Eucharis. Okay? Which is the root for Eucharistia, meaning thanksgiving. This form of the word actually means to abundantly give grace, much grace, well graced. We have been given great grace. We have. So you think about that word. Eucharistia. It's also the word for Eucharist. Eucharist. And some people look at it and say, what do we call it? We call it the Last Supper? We call it the communion meal? You know, and someone simplified and said, it is the great grace meal. Do you know what it is? Eucharist. It's the Thanksgiving meal. Makes things a little bit differently. Well, we took communion on Tuesday evening service, which we do. We always have one before Thanksgiving. And we are again this morning going to take communion. So I want you to remember that when you're taking it. We call it Holy Communion. But it's a Thanksgiving meal we're going to be part of and to partake of. Because Jesus said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We're having a Thanksgiving meal to honor our Lord and Savior. Amen? Okay. You can open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 10. We're going to talk about Daniel this morning. Something specifically in what we're going to read, I'm going to pick up. But I know a lot of everybody thinks when they think of Daniel, they think of Daniel in the lion's den. He's far more than that. So much more than that. I mean, he was given visions. He was given prophecies, especially about the end times, which I believe we're living in some of them right now. Okay, so you're there, Daniel. Chapter 10. Okay. Verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. Now, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no food, no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, on the 24th day of the month, first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone, saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face. With my face to the ground, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourselves before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. The angel that came wasn't seen by anybody except Daniel. Verse 5 said what? He lifted up his eyes and looked. He had been praying and fasting, so he's looking because he expected. Okay. But this is a way angels show up sometimes. Just by opening up your eyes to them, the veil is removed between you and the spiritual realm so you can physically see them. Now, I can't say that I've ever seen any, but I know after something to none that I've entertained one. I've been with one. How many of you have ever been had that experience? Knowing that there was no other way. But I said, well, God sent one of his ministering angels to you. Well, it says in verse 7 that nobody else saw the angel, but they all felt his presence. And it scared them so much that they got up and they ran ahead. They were hiding in the bushes. All the guys could do them a lot of good, right? Well, but Daniel, he saw this being standing there, and it just amazed him. See, the angel, okay, it doesn't specify, but you go back from, it's Gabriel. Okay, it's Gabriel. Gabriel always coming out there, giving the messages from God. You know, when he needed real backup, he would call Michael. Call Michael. Yeah, you got it right. Yeah. He was a mighty warrior, him. So was Gabriel. I'm not taking it away. I'm just saying, but he seems like he's always the one that was there. So anyhow, we're going to be, it says, the angel was glowing and dressed in fine linen of gold. Euphaz. You know that's the finest gold there is, Brother Tim? Look it up. It's amazing. The angels in their attire, their authentic state, we'll say, okay, are often dressed in beautiful garments. God's not about shabby in the kingdom. And the angels are supposed to dress accordingly. So he doesn't want us dressing unaccordingly. You know what I'm saying? Just think about that for a second. I want you to look good. You're presenting Christ to the world. So it's what you wear that speaks to them. This angel had a face that was flashing like lightning. You know when lightning flashes? Just it get that sense that he's saying. And his eyes were blazing like fire. His body was like a sparkling gem. Daniel said it looked like beryl. Okay? Now, beryl is a mineral that comes in many colors. But it's probable that it was of the golden state of beryl that Daniel was talking about, since the next thing he says is that the angel's arms and legs were bright like polished brass. That don't even come close. Look at them. Woo-hoo! I'm just telling you, Jesus. He also said that the angel's voice was like a multitude of people talking at once. Have you ever been in a room where everybody's talking? Yeah. The force of that. Yeah. When I was back there in the sound booth, and we'd be playing a little bit of soft music before, and I'm going to expose myself. People be talking. I sit down there, watch this. Take it up a little bit. Crowd again. A little louder. Take it up a little bit. Crowd again a little. Get up, next you know, they're all talking at the top of their voice. And then I pulled music all the way down. And then I all go. I'm sorry. That was just, so. That, but that's the sound you get, okay? I know. Okay. Shame on me. But oh, Jesus. So, but can you hear that him, his voice speaking and seeing such a being standing right in front of you? Close your eyes and picture that for a moment. Whew. So it says, Daniel lost all his strength when that angel arrived. See, the glory coming off of the angel affected his physical body. When the angel spoke, Daniel dropped his face on the ground. Can you imagine that, Doc? Flat down, you know. And with that, you know, definitely he didn't slap his face. He got down, but I guarantee you he didn't get hurt. Because when somebody goes down and the Holy Ghost is there, ain't going to get hurt. Amen. And Dean, I can still, every time I think of that, I think of your dad. Hallelujah. I don't know how he missed all those things, because I was the only one back there trying to catch him. And he did. And he was on the floor, and he was a happy camper. He was like, hallelujah. I remember that day. That's a great picture to have. Well, so he flew to his face in the presence of that messenger of God, because his physical body couldn't take the power that was resonating from the angel. But then the angel touched Daniel, and the force of that touch pulled Daniel upright out of his state of being. The angel effortlessly set Daniel on his hands and knees. Can you imagine? Brings him upright. Then he says to him, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. How would you like to have that kind of thing spoken to you? God sends an angel and says, oh, Teddy, greatly beloved. Didn't even faze him. Hallelujah. Or how about maybe, Shirley, Shirley, Shirley. The Lord loves you, Shirley. You are greatly beloved by God. Can you hear him saying that to you? From the things you're doing? First Lieutenant. Do what you're called to do. And you said it right there. If it's you're supposed to pray for somebody, you pray for them. Amen? Yeah. And you never quit praying. Prayer changes things. Prayer brings comfort, brings deliverance from prayer. Now, we don't have to imagine that, though. Because, see, we all know how greatly beloved we are. See, and that's not with arrogance that we say that. That's in the acceptance of his love. That's what it is. Okay, I'm not going to pass it up. And what does love got to do with anything?
Everything.
Everything. That's right. That's right. Say, he loves me. I know he loves me. God really loves me.
God really loves me.
There you go. He does. He does. You are greatly beloved. He's not a respecter of persons. You understand that? He loves us all the same. See, you've got to remember, we are adopted sons and daughters of God. Our Father loved us enough to send His Son, Jesus, to take away all of our sins and to clean us up and to make us part of the family. We're part of the family. Hallelujah. But again, Daniel 10, verses 11 to 12. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. So would I. Then he said to me, do not fear. You hear that? Do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. The angel said, I have come because of your words. God comes to our aid when we use words. But not just any words. Our words must be words of faith. See, God responds to words of faith. One thing we need to realize, that God is not moved by need. You hear that? God's not, He knows what you need. So He's not moved by that. You have needs. And He knows. But He's not moved by those needs. See, the thing that moves God, though, is faith. See, He designed His kingdom to work by faith in Him. We need faith to receive Him when we are born again, and then to receive from Him from that point on. It takes faith. And how does faith come?
By hearing. And hearing. And hearing.
By the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. You've got to build on that. That's what He wants you to do. He wants us to build upon that. See, it's not that he's just mean and is trying to be demanding. It's that he has set his kingdom that way, and it's based on wisdom. He's a lot wiser than we are. That's why he tries to teach us about faith. That's why he has so many great faith teachers out there. You know, they're giants out there. I'm just about that big. That's how I feel about myself. But I know that little guy, me, is doing his part. And I'm doing my part. I don't say that arrogant. I really feel that in me. I feel that the Holy Spirit brings forth the words that come forth from this pulpit. And we're going to see souls come into the kingdom by the hundreds right out of this church. And we're going to move to the thousands. The harvest is here. And we're going to be part of it. I said we're going to be part of it. See, I don't do this alone. It takes the ecclesia, which we are. Hallelujah. All we have to do is work within the principles of his kingdom. We don't have to go one more minute without our needs being met. God meets our needs through our seeds of faith in him and his word. See, he doesn't want us to figure out how to meet our need by the flesh or the carnal thinking. He wants to meet our need and give us the revelation of it in the Spirit. Then every time our needs are met, he's glorified. Listen to the small, still, quiet voice. He's there. He's talking. Are you listening? Say, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11:6. We're not going to pass these up. We can't. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you go back up to Hebrews 11:1 there. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you got to always read that one in the Amplified. Always. Because it seems to bring it out more. Brings more life into it for us. Okay? And it says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. Well, I can't touch it and I can't see it. No. Faith calls those things that be not as though they are. You believe you have it. You believe you can touch it. You believe it in your heart. And next thing you know, the manifestation of it is in your hands.
That was easy.
We make it complicated. Don't make life complicated. God didn't make it complicated for us. He made it easy. Oh, y'all, look around you. Well, look around you. That is not what should be moving you. That is not what should be moving you. There are wars and there are rumors of wars. God made a move over in the Middle East, and he showed what Israel, the people who are the apple of his eye, or no matter how much fighting there is amongst them, boom, boy, they were unified. They went in and they kick some butt. That's how God does business. Now, there's a lot of things that are playing out. We see there's something that God's doing something because he's getting the hostages back. And he's going to clean this area up yet. Israel's not done yet. The leader of Hamas is going to be found just like bin Laden was found. That was my prayer. You can ask Teresa. I prayed that every time we were gathered together here. And that's what I prayed for. Prayed that he's a defeated foe and they were going to find him out. They did. So his days are numbered. When it came to the things of God, Daniel was incredibly loyal and he was faithful. See, he wouldn't let the things of God go even under the societal and political pressure of his day. You know, we can read there's a lot of incidents. I mean, this is a man who got on his knees and prayed. You can't pray. He still got on his knees and prayed anyhow. And like I say, they tried to feed the man to the lions, and it didn't work. It didn't work. No, those who pursued that had their day in the lion's den. It didn't go good for them. You don't touch God's anointed. You don't agree with him? Then shut your mouth and step and move forward. Don't touch God's anointed. God anointed preachers to be at a certain place, to say certain things. You may not like them, then move on. Just don't talk about them. It won't go well for you. I know that for a fact. I've opened my mouth up to that. And I always thought it was me. And then, you know, you talk about a conviction that comes upon you. And this was years ago. This isn't recent. I'm talking a long time ago. The Holy Ghost straightened me out. Because as soon as I did it, I felt like something that was vomited out onto the floor. And I had to, and I went through that whole day till I could apologize to him in front of the church. That goes years back. Like a dog clamping his jaws on a bone, though, Daniel just wouldn't let go of what he knew to be right. See, prayer was very important to Daniel, and so was fasting. But it was his words that brought angelic attention. Words. Words matter to God. Keeping ourselves faithful to the things of God, even when everything and everyone around us is going the other way, is what's called the narrow path that leads to God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus speaking here. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. I didn't say it. Jesus did. See, but lots of people, they take the wide path. And where does it lead them to? To destruction. I didn't say it. Jesus did. See, lots of people truly believe there is no real good and there is no real evil. They just think it's a conditioning of the mind. Okay? So they feel they can do and say anything they want without any cost. I'm telling you, there is always a cost. Think about it. Think about it before you open your mouth. The wide path leads to destruction. The narrow path leads to life. That's what that says. Okay, now, the story of Daniel, though, is a reminder that God sees and hears everything And his angels respond to our words when they line up with God's. Okay? The Word of God opens our eyes, but it takes a spiritual change on the inside of us to really grasp its truth. See, that is why we, as a believer, speak, decree, and declare the Word of God in faith. And when we do, it's more powerful than Satan and all his works. I said more powerful, and it is. It's why we can read it and absorb truth when sometimes can't even be expressed. See, layers of spiritual truth start to align us with God's way of being when our earthly minds sort of get off track. See, there's power in the Word of God. His Word formed everything there is around us. Everything. So there is definitely power in the Word of God. So when we use the Word of God, speaking it, decreeing it, and declaring it, in faith, we are drawing from the energy of dunamis. And what is dunamis? The power of God. We draw on the dunamis. That makes the angels pay attention. Yes, and even the fallen ones. They don't want you doing it. They don't want to hear what you're speaking and what you're drawing your power with. You know why? Because they know it will beat them up. It will put them in their place. And you have the authority, and he's given you the ability to use his dunamis. We're supposed to cast them demons out. We're supposed to lay hands on the sick and they recover. Don't be afraid. Them angels out there, them fallen angels, they're going to start running. They're going to start getting back. You know, they're going to hide down and wait for you to make a mistake. And you just, the more you just keep declaring the word, it'll just keep them backed up. See, because they want to keep us in the dark and they want to keep us muted. We can't be in the dark. We can't be muted. We're in the light. Jesus is the light of our life. Now, we all want to live the good life. We may think of the good life in different ways according to our personal views or our preferences. But I've never met anyone who didn't think the good life was a joyful one, a peaceful one, a prosperous one, and an exciting one. You don't want a humdrum life. You want an exciting life. You look at Dee. Pretty soon she's gonna be up running without that walker. I'm telling you, she's gonna be running without walker. Because her faith's strong. That's what she's believing God for. And she's not wavering in what she's standing for. I'm just saying, you watch and see. And don't be sitting there saying, well, you know, Pat, you shouldn't say this. No. No, let's just believe with her. You believe with her for that. We believed with your dad for the surgery that he had, and look at him. We believed for that miracle that Nancy was looking for. She got it made. She got that miracle laid out right there for her. She got insurance. Everything fell into place for her. She got two new hips. Yeah, you can see, I'm going to tell you what, you try to keep up with the three of them when they get moving, running around this church. You're going to be able to keep up with them. That's how you look at it in faith. Ah, Jesus, hallelujah. I just love it. I'm getting excited here. The Word has everything we need for a good life. Still, though, nothing will get done unless we first take the initiative. See, God did his part. He sent his Son and he sent his Word. Does it not say he sent his Word? And it says he sent his Son. Hallelujah. Now it's up to you and me to boldly speak, decree, and declare the word out in faith. Speak it out loudly. the devil and all his little comments don't want to hear you speaking it out loudly. They don't want you to speak. So that's why I'm telling you. You speak it, you decree it, you declare it. Boldly do it. Because as we do, God will send spiritual reinforcements that we will either see like Daniel, or those around us, we may not see them. But you got to be looking for them. I'm not, you know, people said, I've seen angels. I believe people have seen angels. I believe there are men and women who have seen angels. Either way, though, the angel that day came for Daniel's words, because words matter in the spiritual realm. They matter a whole lot more than what you think. A whole lot more. Bless the Lord, you his angels. I'm sorry, Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21. Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the word, the voice of his word. Heeding the voice of his word. Verse 21, you got to include this. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts. What are the heavenly hosts? They're the angels. You his ministers. You ministers who do his will. What are those, when he calls them ministers, what are they? They're servants. Are not all angels, ministers, and servants? They're out there spiritually to help us. Angels don't follow just any word. They do what God asks them to do, and they are eager and very enthusiastic to bring God's word to pass. Okay? Remember, angels are helpers. And if we are speaking God's word, the angels will take part in bringing God's word to pass in our lives. So I believe that God is coming for our words. But if you're not saying anything of value, then the Lord won't make the trip for nothing. He wants to hear you speaking something. It is faith-filled words that will draw him, not fear and doubt. Faith destroys all distance between God and us. See, it draws on the power of his presence within us. See, unlike Daniel, who lived in the Old Testament times, we who are saved, everybody in here is saved, right? Amen. Amen. Yeah, I heard the conversations of it. I don't miss any of that. So Rose, welcome this morning, right? I did get that right. And you are born again and saved. Hallelujah. Jesus is good. Jesus is good. Hallelujah. So today, we have the very presence of God's Holy Spirit within us. Within us. You want to talk about being close? In you. In you and me. See, God will respond to us in the good times and the desperate times. It does not matter if we're in a situation where nobody is nearby to help us. God will send one of his servants to help us if we're speaking words of faith. Angels are servants of God, but remember this, we are children of God. Heirs according to his promise. And that's better. That's better. Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. Just to make that point sure. Revelation chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Greek nor Jew. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You know, God has to reaffirm that with all of us and make sure you know who you are in Christ Jesus. You're a son of the Most High God. You gotta really get that in your head. That's why you can say, Daddy, Abba, Father, Daddy. He's made it that close now. And while we're here on the earth, we got His very presence within us. We got His Holy Spirit within us. Bring us comfort. Nobody can bring comfort like Holy Spirit can. Nobody. Angels work for God, but they respond to us when we speak His word. So speaking God's word is important. And when you speak God's word, angels move. They move. They don't sit there and say, man, what did you say? No, they know exactly what you said, and they're moving. They're moving. They're in London, and they're dressed to the hilt, ready to go. Or there's garbs that make you sit there and you say, oh, they look good. Or they come in their fighting uniforms. Yeah. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Man. I like that picture that Eleanor has that she pulls out. She uses it as a little extension on her desk. That's an awesome picture of Christ there on the way or it's coming back. Woo! Yeah. See, they're going to go to work and they're going to bring forth what we've been speaking in God's Word to pass in your life, in our nation. Because, you know, we can see what we spoke by speaking and decreeing the Word over Israel and what just happened and how God made a divine reversal. It completely changed on. Everybody thought, and I don't know if you've seen, but Iran is showing off this new missile that said, it will make it to Israel. They said, we got something their defense can't put up. They're showing it. You know what? God's sitting back and He's going, Prince of Persia still exists. It's still alive, that spirit. You know where that Persia is? It's Iran. The spirits are alive today. We got to make sure that we understand. We're fighting spiritual battles here. Now, they fall into the natural, as we've seen. These are spiritually driven. When you got people in this country that are Jewish and not ashamed of it, well, yet they got to walk in fear. And then in some states, they're told they aren't even allowed to have weapons anymore. They cut back on what they're allowed to have. So they can't even protect themselves. Yeah. So they got to rely on God. They're relying on God with everything they have. This is, I mean, you look at this, is all over the world. And just because we as a nation are backing and putting our support with them, our men and women in the military or in different agencies are looked at the same way. They're being attacked constantly. Am I right, Brother Charles? One last thing here. Okay. The angels here Gabriel. He made sure to tell Daniel that he heard his words the first time. The first time he spoke. See, that tells us that we shouldn't give up. A delay is not a denial. A delay is not a denial. See, don't let the devil tell you that God isn't listening. God hears us every time, but our words must be words of faith. Do not fear, for from the first time that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. That will happen. There are delays in the spiritual realm. 13. I didn't read this one. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. He was telling him, I got delayed in the spiritual realm. He was confronted by the kings. He was taking on quite a few. Then he called for Michael, backup. Michael come down and helped. They cleared the way. Gabriel made his appointed time there, and now he's going to explain what he showed in chapter 9, what he read. Amen. But he's coming for our words. And we have to humble ourselves. And we got to what? Seek his face. What does 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 say? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. America is being saved. We're not putting it off in the future anymore. We are being saved. This country, this nation is being saved. And that's part of our responsibility, to make sure we're praying for this nation, praying for the nation of Israel, praying for one another. Amen. As Shirley said, Shirley stepped out. When I asked her about, I said, we're going to make you a door greeter. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, 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 no. You're going to be a door greeter. Oh, no, no, no. She's one of the best door greeters. I mean, her Janice, man, they've teamed up. And got John at the door now. It's like trifecta when you come in there. You can't come in here and not feel comfortable when you run into all of them. That's the way they are. It permeates from them. But she went ahead and did it. And then we were sitting here, and they kept going over decrees and that, and we were just keeping them all to ourselves here on Thursdays. And we decided, you know, we should start doing this. I told her, you get ready to do one. What? You're a school teacher. You taught kids. Well, this is different. I said, they're kids. We're all kids. We're all God's children. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Let's.